Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Terry Fletcher.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Terry Fletcher. Yes, I am back with the WTF Weekly podcast. What is WTF? What the football? So every week you'll hear from me. It'll be about the happenings around the league, what the football happenings, strange things that are going on in every game, but heavy Steelers, of course, since we are the Steel City Underground podcast. So this week we have week one. What was going on? Well, we opened with the Kansas City versus Texans, and that was an interesting game because we had combined $640 million between the two quarterbacks, and Mahomes, he looks even better than he did last year. What was interesting to me, though, wasn't the quarterback play, even though he made some great plays, and I think actually the Super Bowl probably goes through Kansas City that we have to get there. But I think the biggest surprise was their rookie running back, and that would be Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So CEH, in a fantasy league that I'm in, one of the people I play against, he actually picked him up, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. He almost scored close to 30 points, so that was crazy. I mean, he just really, 138 yards, he had a touchdown on 25 carries. He was just ridiculous. And actually, talking about rookies for a second, it's interesting to hear some of the things that some of the rookies were doing that really have a what-the-football moment. So Joe Burrow, you know, he was Cincinnati. He was the number one overall pick. He was so hyped. How did he do? Well, he almost won. He actually didn't do too bad. But because of a Randy Bullock missed field goal, because of a calf strain, he did not win his game. But he was close. He did a decent job, almost 200 yards passing, and he had a rushing touchdown. But I think they're pretty happy with the flashes there. But just the look on his face, and it was a true what-the-football moment when the field goal was missed. So that was interesting to me. When you get to Seattle, talking about rookies still, the Freddie Swain, which is a wide receiver, he actually did pretty well. He didn't actually score, but he helped us set up a lot of football scores for them. So he recovered a fumble to set up a Wilson fourth touchdown. Seattle just played well. I think they're definitely in the discussion for a run here, the way Russell Wilson is playing. For Tampa Bay, poor Tom Brady. But actually, I'm kidding when I say that. I don't know if you heard a little disdain in my voice there. But they have a new rookie. He's a safety. His name's Antoine Winfield. Now, the reason I bring him up, he did a good job. He had six tackles. He had a quarterback pressure and all that. But here's what's funny. Again, I mentioned fantasy football. He was projected to get 28 points. Now, obviously, that's a what the football faux pas for Yahoo Fantasy. But he ended up getting 7, and he was actually, they adjusted the projection to 6.5. So he did well. But I just thought that was funny. I'm like, we have a safety that's supposed to get more than two wide receivers combined. Yeah, they needed to adjust that. And then Buffalo rookie, they had running back Zach Moss, and he actually did pretty well. He did well on receiving more than he did actually on running the ball. So the best runner actually was their quarterback, but he did pretty well. I thought, okay, they at least got something out of their one of their draft picks. So I think that was actually a good thing. But what else happened that really gave you pause for what the football? I would say Detroit wide receiver, last name Swift, he dropped the pass with 6 seconds left for the win. Just the look on Matthew Stafford's face, and he just pounded sand when he missed that ball directly to him in the end zone. Nobody really was around him. It got broken up, but he just missed it. And we were all screaming. I was actually having brunch with friends. They had a big screen TV now that we're allowed to dine indoors, thank goodness. And it was the loudest scream I heard. So back to Tom Brady. Where are we at with Tom Brady? Well, I don't know about all of you, but I really got tired of the constant hype. Didn't matter what you turned on, what you were listening to, everything was about Tom Brady this, Tom Brady that, and he's just going to be the best thing ever at 43 years old, after being in New England for 20 years. But he had a major loss. He had 2 interceptions and a pick. And Gronkowski, which he brought back, his buddy, was a non-factor. And I think it even kind of put salt in that wound there because Bill Belichick with Cam Newton won his game. And Cam rushed more than he ever has, and people were worried about his mobility as he's banged up a lot. So Tom Brady definitely had a tough game. And I don't know if it was his age showing or what, but he really just didn't get his receivers involved. It was really limited. I actually have Mike Evans on my fantasy team, and he was supposed to get 13 points, and he got 2.5. I mean, right there, how do you not target him? So he was not involved at all, and it was kind of a sad day for Tampa Bay. And then you hear afterward, you hear Bruce Arians basically saying, oh, well, this person missed their route, this person missed this, and it's just, you know, stop with the excuses. I know he's in a different town, I know he's got a different coach, but he's been in the league 20 years. He should know what's going on. So one of my favorite What the Football losses this weekend, boy, I'm kind of busting on people here, but this is what this podcast gets to do. The Cowboys lose to the Rams after leading at the half. And I think I was actually surprised that they were leading at the half. They did not play well at all. It was a very, I don't know, back and forth game. Goff finally played pretty well. He's, to me, what you call kind of pedestrian. So nothing to write home about, but he's one of the, I would say, top 15, probably closer to that 15 in my opinion. But you know what? You pull out a win, you're pretty excited about that. So one of the interesting comebacks was the Washington football team, you know, the generic team out on the East Coast. They came back from halftime down 19-0 for the win. And what I really liked about this, and if there's anything heartfelt about things that are going on in the league right now, this is something that everybody can truly get around and relate to. And that is, you know, the coach Ron Rivera, who was announced prior to the league starting that he has cancer, and he had to go in at halftime and get an IV. And he is really just working through his health issues. And he asked their quarterback to give the halftime speech, and they came out and ended up winning, you know, 27-19. So you really have to respect what that team did and what they, you know, pulled off after being down almost 20 points. So good for them. I was really happy for them. And I have a friend who's a big Washington fan here, and he had to get all new all new jersey, all new t-shirt, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so fan gear. And he said it was worth it. He was pretty excited about that. So going back to kind of, and I hate to call them the old guys because I'm going to come up with our quarterback soon, which I'm sorry, Ben, but once you get over 35, that's what they start calling you. And, you know, they did that visual too about all the young quarterbacks in the AFC North, and then they put Ben in the front of the campfire. But first, talk about the Colts. So who went to the Colts? And the same draft class, 2004, would be Philip Rivers. Boy, did he look terrible. He had two interceptions, also a pick. And it seemed just like vintage Philip Rivers. It wasn't, for me, it wasn't What the Football. It was, why did you sign him? So it was just a crazy kind of game for him. And it'll be interesting to see what Frank Reich does moving forward, because I'm thinking that they may go back to one of their backup quarterbacks there, because he's just not getting the job done. And that's why he was let go. You know, I always try to not to call it San Diego, so the Chargers, who are now in L.A., but that's why they said, you know what, we need to move on. So let's get to the Steelers with the football. And oh man, this started off slow for sure. And, you know, one of the things that I think people miss when it comes to, or have missed, when it comes to what the effect of the shutdown and COVID and all that has had on the players and the team as a whole, especially with no OTAs, a very limited mini camp. And the biggest thing would be no preseason. So we didn't have our four preseason games. Well, what does preseason do? So we know Ben only plays a couple of snaps in usually the third game. The starters usually sit out the first two. Maybe you'll see, you know, a couple of the veterans in the offensive line, maybe one or two in the defense, but it's really to take a look at guys. But the one players, or I should say the group of players that always play almost every snap in the preseason would be special teams. And Chris Boswell, I'm going to kind of pick on him a little bit, only because I think Chris is solid. I always actually draft a kicker in my fantasy league, and I always draft him around the 6th, 7th round, and I drafted him again. And I really was not upset at the fact that he did miss that, you know, PAT And he also kicked one out of bounds, which was awful. But, you know, and because then it ends up with the at the 40-yard line. That's like one of the worst sins you could ever make in football. But remember, if he was actually in preseason games, he would have had at least 12 game time situations. You know, you have to think between kickoffs and field goals and extra points. I'm just averaging. He might have had maybe three a game. So you're looking at minimum 12. And he had none, absolutely no game time, anything. And so for him, I think that, and also Deontay Johnson, you know, he actually muffed the punt at the beginning. And I was like, this is how the game's going to start. You've got to be kidding me. And I know many of you were thinking the same thing. And everybody overreacts right away. But if you watch it, and they said the wind was swirling out there, he got too far under it, or there was no way he could catch it. If he caught it, it would have been up by his neck. And I've watched the game back three times now just so I could be clear on what was going on. And it was just really kind of odd just to see all that. But the special teams definitely is hurt when it comes to no preseason. So I'd actually like to see at least one game come back next year. Well, it'll be interesting to see what actually happens. But did you notice how quiet it is now out there? That bonk you heard from the missed PAT? You could hear it, and you could hear it all the way. I'm in California. You could hear it all the way across the country, but on TV, boy, that you can hear when that stadium is quiet. I think one of the best What the Football moments had to be Hayward's interception in the end zone. It was his first career interception. He just got a very big payday, you know, at his age, at 30 years old, and I know he was so excited for that. And you could see on Twitter that teammates, his fellow defensive players were giving him a really hard time in the effect that they were like, we're never going to hear the end of this. So that was actually kind of a cool moment for him. Now, I know other teams are saying, what are we going to do with the two basically defensive ends, Watt and Dupree, on the Steelers? What are they going to do? Because they are just the best bookends I've ever seen. They are amazing. And it is crazy to me to really, you know, try to figure out how other teams are planning for them. So I am so happy we have them. You know, TJ Watt's definitely going to get paid, and this is going to be a great year for Bud as well. So let's just hope we get to keep them in the long scheme of things. Now, one of the, to me, was a game changer in the game. There was this one play, and it wasn't a catch. It wasn't a run. It was a fall on a fumble. And you know who I'm talking about, Juju Smith. Juju Smith-Schuster, Juju is amazing. And I never lost faith in him last year. He lost his quarterback. If you remember when Ben was out and AB, long time ago, he had to rely on the backups and their numbers just tank. It's terrible. And that was what would happen to him last year when we were basically on our third, you know, possibly even fourth string quarterback with Duck. Even though we held our own and didn't have a losing season, we ended up having an 8-8. And actually, with the extra game this year, we would have actually made it to the playoffs. But Juju is going to be fine. Juju is being Juju. But to have the instinct to watch the play all the way to the end, to come back in after going out of bounds and set his feet, and then go back and make sure that with a pile of giants, I counted five. Coach Tomlin said in his presser he counted nine. But I counted five, and he fell on it and fought for that ball. And to me, after Snell fumbled, after making such a great run, that was an outstanding play. And that's a selfless play. He also made a block so Snell could run into the end zone earlier. So he is just an all-around player building his brand. And I'm telling you, I just love him as a Steeler. So that was a definite What the Football moment. Another one would have had to been Chase Claypool. So back to rookies. I mentioned other teams' rookies, but what about ours? So Chase Claypool, our wide receiver that we drafted, and that toe tapper at the side, he only had two receptions and two targets. But we'll take it because it reminded me of Santonio Holmes in the Super Bowl against the Arizona, and it was awesome. And even Ben said, I haven't had a chance to go look at it yet. I'm sure he has now. But he was just so excited that he kept his 2 feet in bounds and really got that. So that was just a great flash of his debut. And that's really what it was. It was a debut. Now, I mentioned Benny Snell football. Mike Tomlin likes to say that. And I don't know about you, but watching Connor, who's out again because of an ankle, or was out that game, they said they've left the light on for him. I love the Tomlinisms. But for me, you know, I really love his story. I do. coming back from cancer and, you know, being a native Pennsylvanian and coming back in and being drafted. And I know he's trying. I know he came in very, very fit. He did everything he could to make sure that he, you know, was working out. And I mean, he was bulked up. He looked like he was ready. The problem is, and this is what happens sometimes with a compromised body, he just can't stay healthy. He can't. And it's just unfortunate with how much he was out last year and the year before, and now all of a sudden this year. I really think it's Benny Snow football. Because one thing I noticed, and I'm hoping you did, and this is my what the football moment. Benny Snell, the points after the catch or the points after the run, he just keeps going. He reminds me very much of Jerome Bettis, and we need that ground and pound guy. Connor looks like he would be, but Benny Snell is that guy. So for me, I just want to see him as a starter. I try to pick him up on the waiver wires because, of course, I have Connor, and yeah, everybody gobbled him up right away. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But the what the football Giants, let's go on the other side of the ball here, because I don't know what was going on there. I'm sitting there like, why? How are we able to stop Saquon Barkley? I mean, he basically was doing a little bit of the catching game with passes. And then they said at the end that he had 6 rushing yards to Ben's 9 yards. And then around halftime, I was reminded who their offensive coordinator is. Yep, Jason Garrett. Not using the running back to their fullest extent. Now, I'm happy that he didn't do that, but it was really interesting because not using him was, I mean, he never had him in for 2 plays at a time running. Who does that? Our defense held him to 15 carries and 6 yards. And, you know, they only missed a tackle on a screen pass where he hurdled bodies. But I just really just don't get their game plan there. So that's a mess. And, you know, remember what he used to do when he had Zeke in the Cowboys in Dallas? And he's doing the same thing now with Saquon Barkley, which is sad. Arguably one of the best running backs in the league. So just looking at it from a love for football, not just a love for my Steelers, that was a what the football moment for me for sure. A couple of other things that I think are 2 really good things that are, oh, thank you, football gods, would be the refs are under the hood again for COVID because of lack of contact with things. They're not on the tablets or iPads or whatever they're using, the Surface tablets. And so they're back under the hood. To me, that's old school. I love it. So I'm really happy to see that. And the best part of week 1 is there's no more offensive or defensive pass interference challenges. We weren't winning them anyway. Every time Tom would throw out the flag, which was justified, we'd never get them. So now it makes the game so much better thinking, okay, you know what? We don't think you were right. We can scream at the TV, whatever, but it doesn't get reviewed and we don't have to wait on that. So, and I think it's going to be a little bit more accurate now because they're not always waiting to say, let's just let New York figure it out. So hopefully that'll definitely be a plus moving forward. I think it is. And then let me just go on to week 2. So week 2, we go to or Denver comes to us, which we're excited for our home opener. They have no Von Miller, who's out. They have no cornerback. Boye, he's out this week. So how are they going to stop Juju, Claypool, James Washington? I mean, we've got various others. You know, I hope they get Ebron more involved. I hope they get McDonald more involved. But Ben's got a lot of targets with very little backfield problems. So this is going to be a good game. The only thing that I would also say when it comes to week 2, and these are just some, we really hope that the LA teams, the 49ers had a problem this last week, and I hope the Chargers, they're at home, and we have fires here in California. The air quality is unhelpful, so make sure that you're taking every precaution to protect yourselves because it's brutal here. It is just brutal, and they're finally starting to get them under containment, but it has been very hot and very tough, so that's what we're dealing over here on the West Coast. Hope everybody on the East Coast is doing well. I cannot wait for week 2 to start, and I'm so happy that football season's back. So everyone, thanks for listening. This is a weekly segment. Try to have it out for you each week on what the football and happenings around the league. So make it a great day, and this is Terry Fletcher signing off from Steel City Underground Podcast.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.